Welcome everyone to 24 Shades of Blue. My name is Anime and I'm your host for this exhilarating podcast talking about everything related to the Toronto Police Service. To start off, I know we are all reeling from the repercussions of the pandemic. And unfortunately, something that has resurfaced is our hate crimes. And what is terrifying to me as an Asian is that I can be targeted for simply what I look like. It terrifies me. And so today we're going to be talking about hate crimes and how to report them. Today, I have here with me Detective Kiran Bisla. Kiran, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Anime. Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't we start off with just introducing yourself? Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm a detective with the Toronto Police Service Intelligence Services Hate Crime Unit. I've been with the service for almost 22 years and have been in the hate crime unit for almost 12.
That's fantastic. And so today we're going to be talking about hate crimes. What is a hate crime? Can you define it and talk about different categories?
Absolutely. Hate crimes are criminal offenses that are committed against a person or property that are motivated either in part or wholly by the offender's bias, prejudice, or hate against individuals based on their, characteristics like or their identity.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so prejudice. Can you give me an example?
Well, for example, of all the language and words that the offender could have used to, place on a building, whether, why is it that the offender chose specific language? Why is it that they chose specific symbolism? Mm-hmm. So for example, the offender could have chosen to draw a smiley face, but they chose a swastika or, KKK. Why is it that we believe that that specific language was selected? And that would, that's evidence that would be presented to the Crowns, in that we believe that the mischief or the graffiti, was motivated either in part or if not wholly by the offender's bias, prejudice, or hatred towards a specific community group.
Mm-hmm. We've seen so many different hate crimes just popping up, and I know we really have to understand them and categorize them. So I've heard of hate incidences. So what's the difference between a hate incident versus a hate crime?
Thank you for that question. And I know that is it can be a gray area. So a hate incident is a non-criminal action or behavior that targets an individual, again, based on bias, prejudice, or hate. Examples of hate incidents could be a parking lot dispute where individuals are arguing over a parking spot and one individual makes racial slurs or derogatory comments. And while that isn't a criminal offense, we understand that that has a significant impact on the individual or can have a significant impact on the individual. So it's important for police to know what's happening in the community. Police are able to attend these types of situations and help de-escalate and provide support and resources to individuals if required.
So that makes sense. So if we actually dig into that example, does it turn into a hate crime if it becomes violent?
If there's a criminal offense, so a hate crime can be any criminal offense. So if there are threats made in addition, or during the parking lot dispute, then it could potentially escalate to a criminal offense. But when we're talking about hate incidents, we're talking about the absence of a criminal offense. So racial slurs or derogatory comments or hateful comments without that criminal element.
So we talked about hate incidences and the escalated to hate crimes. Are there any other things we should know about?
Well, the law addresses hate in a number of ways. So any criminal offense in which there is evidence of hate, bias, or prejudice, the courts would be required to take into consideration to determine the appropriate sentence for those types of offenses. Additionally, there's also mischief to religious property, educational institutions, etc. And what that means is if there is damage to property that is used primarily by an identifiable group. So for example, a church or, mischief at a mosque or a community center, officers would be able to lay the charge of mischief to religious property, educational institutions, etc. There's also hate propaganda offenses and the offenses of willful promotion of hatred, advocating genocide, willful promotion of anti-Semitism, which was recently added in June 2022. those would require the consent of the Attorney General's office. There's also public incitement of hatred. That is also an offense under the hate propaganda provisions. That one does not require the AG's consent. And hate propaganda essentially is public communication of statements made against individuals that communicate hatred.
Gotcha. Okay. And, you know, the landscape has changed dramatically and hate crimes, it's not a new thing. It's been here forever. But in the last 5 years, can you tell us what has changed, if it has changed?
Hate crime numbers and the number of reported hate crimes in Toronto has certainly changed. Especially during the pandemic, there was a significant rise in the number of hate crimes that were being reported in the year 2020 and 2021. And we believe that those numbers are attributed to what was happening globally. For example, the pandemic. For example, the killing of George Floyd down south. All these events, while they may not be happening in Toronto specifically, do have an impact in the city of Toronto.
Mm-hmm. So with the hate crimes, so you said that they've increased. So volume-wise, we're seeing more hate crimes in the past several years because of the pandemic. But the hate crimes in themselves, can you tell us a little bit more about that? Have the severity increased? What does that look like?
The types of offenses that are committed are largely mischief to property. So approximately 51% from year to year are the mischief to property-related offenses. What that means is graffiti on a building, language hate symbols on vehicles. That represents a large number of the types of hate crimes that are being committed. The other 49% or 50% are what could be described as more violent types of criminal offenses. Mm-hmm. So the assaults, criminal harassments, the uttering threats, those would represent the other 49% or so.
Right. And so out of curiosity, though, this split or this mix shift that you're talking about, is that normal? Has that changed? Or are we skewed more to assaults or skewed more to the other side?
The types of offenses that are committed are consistent with what's being reported nationally as well. So while the Toronto Police Service does publish its annual hate crime report, Statistics Canada also publishes a police reported hate crimes report. And what we're finding is that the types of offenses that are being committed are consistent with what we're seeing in other jurisdictions.
Okay. Yeah. So it just sounds like volume is increasing, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yes.
Yeah. So with the rise of all of this hate crime, do you think it's influenced by the media? What's causing this?
There are a number of factors that can contribute to the rise of hate crimes that are reported from year to year. Media awareness is certainly one. The more we speak, more we hear about what's happening within our city and outside of our city, it draws more awareness. International events, such as the ones that I've mentioned, geopolitical events, and all these can affect the number of hate crimes that are being reported from year to year, as well as education and community outreach initiatives.
So you talked about a lot of examples before, and one of them was the George Floyd example in the U.S. I'm just curious, are there relationships between the U.S. and Canada and hate crimes?
I would say yes. While I can't speak to the specific data, I can tell you that what happens in the U.S. has a local impact here in Toronto. And we saw that following the killing of George Floyd during the month of June 2020 and the months following that. The number of anti-Black hate crimes reported to the service, that we did observe an increase. And just with respect to other events that happen in the U.S. and outside of North America, there is certainly a local impact here. And similarly, we saw an increase in anti-Ukrainian, anti-Russian hate crimes as well following the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February 2022.
Mm-hmm. We're really impacted globally, everything that's on the streets in Canada and in Toronto. So
hate has no borders.
Hate has no borders. So we talked about kind of the lay of the land of what's currently happening in Toronto. I want to bring it back now to TPS. So when a hate crime or a hate incident occurs, what is the process like to report it?
So the Toronto Police Service Hate Crimes Unit is a support unit, and we provide expertise to divisions and other units within the service. We work very closely with our Community Partnerships Engagement Unit to ensure that we can provide community education outreach initiatives and support those initiatives. We work with corporate communications to ensure that if there's information, you know, to share with the public and the community, that we can work together with them to make sure that that information is provided. And we work with divisions across the city and provide investigative support and resources if required.
And it sounds like these groups and community groups, you use them and work with them in partnership for prevention measures. Is that right?
Absolutely. The community knows what's happening in their individual communities, and they can provide context and information as to why we may be observing a specific trend within the community or in terms of hate crimes. So it's very important for us to speak with the community, to work with our communities, and gather that information to ensure that we're not missing any piece of information.
And correct me if I'm wrong. From my understanding, there's a lot of hesitation from the public to report anything. Is that true? And if it is true, why?
There's lots of reasons why people may not want to report. You know, and this can vary from, you know, just a sense of humiliation. You know, these are highly sensitive criminal offenses that we're talking about, in which, you know, individuals are subjected to hateful comments, racist or harmful comments, and they may not want to necessarily share that information with the police. So while we may receive information that a criminal offense has occurred, sometimes it's not uncommon for victims or witnesses to hold back the information regarding the motivation piece that we need to ensure that we have strong cases. Other reasons could include mistrust of the police, depending on, you know, their personal lived experiences or, you know, cultural experiences. They may not wish or trust the police. Other reasons could be if, you know, they may not wish to report because they're not comfortable giving that information to officers about their identity, or, you know, in cases of LGBTQ2S communities, their sexual orientation, because that information may not be shared with their family or friends. And to provide that to the police can be difficult. Mm-hmm. So it's really important for us to build those relationships and trust with the community to encourage reporting and to know what's happening in our communities.
Right. So you talked about trust, right? And the one thing I want to narrow in on is it's that repercussion. So how do you protect the public or the individual of some sort of repercussion that they may feel might happen after if they were to give that information?
It's important for the community to know that we take these investigations very seriously. And if a report is filed with the Toronto Police Service, it is investigated, and we will go through the investigative steps of ensuring that we have all the evidence and all the information that is necessary to bring these offenders to justice. What makes hate crimes different from any other types of criminal offenses is that we're all vulnerable. We're all vulnerable despite our racial, ethnic, national background. If an individual is targeted, it means that we can all be targeted simply on the basis of how we are perceived to identify as, whether it's real or, you know, whether it's part of our real or perceived identity. We can all be victims of hate crimes. So it's really important to report and to know that the police are going to take these investigations very seriously.
Absolutely. And so sometimes, I don't know, there's a scenario on the street and maybe it's a fight and you have that bystander type of effect, right? Or you see an incident. Sometimes, and I'm probably guilty of falling into that trap, I'll say, oh, someone else will report it, or I don't think what I saw is important. Why is it important that everyone reports anything?
Hate cannot be tolerated. And, you know, for us to combat hate, it takes a collaborative approach. We all need to speak up. We all need to report. If you see something that's happening, you know, I would encourage you to report from a safe place when it is safe to do so. And so that the police can provide, you know, can provide the appropriate response in a timely manner and to be able to provide resources or services to individuals and victims of crimes.
If a person wants to be anonymous, is there a way for the police to protect them?
We do have a program. Individuals can call Crime Stoppers if they do wish to report anonymously. So that's certainly an option if they wish to do so.
And so I actually heard that there's a hate crime report. And so this is something new to me. What information is gathered from this report? And can you tell us a little bit more about it?
So the Toronto Police Service has been publishing its annual hate crime statistical report. It's available on our website. The reports date back to 1998. And the reports provide information regarding the mandate of the hate crime unit, how the hate crime unit collects information, classifies hate crime occurrences, and also provides statistical data about the types of offenses that are being committed and the different community groups that are targeted. Additionally, it provides information about the community outreach and education initiatives that we're currently working on or have worked on. And I think that's important. It shows that, we are taking these reports very seriously.
Mm-hmm. And how does someone find this report?
It's available on our police services website, torontopoliceservice.on.ca. There is a link to our reports on those sites.
No, that's fantastic. Do you have any last words for our listeners or call to actions that you're hoping that they will remember?
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for having me here and to speak about this really important topic. And I think the one piece I would leave everyone with is it's important. It's important to report. It's important for us to know what's happening in our communities in order to combat hate. And we can't do this alone. The police cannot do this alone. We require assistance from the community. You are our eyes and ears. And it's important for us to know what's happening.
Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you to all of you listening. We are 24 Shades of Blue. My name's Anime, and I will see you the next episode. Thank you.